A lot more questions for George than for Sean.
People are still very upset with George.
I feel like there's that, but I also feel like people are a little bit scared to ask Sean a question.
They don't want to be yelled at.
Right. It's not your business. It's none of your business.
The other question we've thrown out to you as the great texters, we're asking you to put together your Mount Rushmore.
Oh.
Four. Of all-time worst Denver sports contracts.
Right.
Because Chris Bryant, you can't make this up, is on the injured list again with a bad back. What prison bed reached up and grabbed him this time?
Dude. You know, I saw the, and I'm using air quotes here, the collision with the wall where the back stiffened up.
Yeah. Sorry. Chris Bryant just makes me do and say things right. I wouldn't normally say. Dad and I have been up since 1:30.
I was going to go back to one of the things Sal Powell said and just cut off half of the, what Sal Powell said earlier.
What was that?
Oh, I'm looking. How they're gonna,
oh, right. Yes, that's right.
Sissy foot around.
That's right. We both looked at each other and went, okay. Sal's from a different generation. So, there you go. But, we're taking your nominations and we'll try to figure out, based on your nominations, who makes up the Mount Rushmore of all-time bad Denver sports contracts. But so you got Russ. You got Chris Bryant.
Yep.
You got Mike Hampton.
Juwan James has to be on.
Juwan James, you know. Mr. What was the line from Vic?
He's not
emotionally ready to go.
I think that guy's still collecting. Is he still collecting money?
He might be.
God bless him.
You got Juwan James. You got Mike Hampton, Denny Nagel, Ian Desmond. Let's throw him in there. You got Dale Carter. Menelik Watson. Remember him?
Oh, dude, I knew he was going to be garbage when he proposed on the sideline of the preseason game. I was like, dude, we hired a dude that's more worried about, you know, making a spectacle of himself as an offensive lineman. Dude, he would have just been, in my day, he'd just been cut instantly on the, like, they were on at the game. He'd be like, Alex Gibson said, you're going to have to turn in your uniform, head to the locker room right now, you're no longer on the team. Proposing at a preseason game.
That's when I knew.
Oh, my gosh. What are we doing?
Going well.
Sid brought up a good one. It's not on the Mount Rushmore, but Kenneth Faried back in the day.
Yes, that's a good one. I remember when he got paid.
Daryl Gardner.
Okay, I'm going to bring one up.
Okay.
Don't yell at me.
Okay,
somebody brought it up, and I think it's fair to maybe wonder, okay? Uh-huh. Gabe Landeskog.
He's the captain. They want a Stanley Cup.
I know, but you're still talking about 5 years, $35 million left on the deal.
Well, okay. What about Val over
Kadri?
I mean, Val, MIA in the series in Seattle.
Yeah, no, I got you. And Gabe's is not going to end up.
He's off limits. One, he's the captain. Two,
I know you did win a cup with him.
The dude's incredibly handsome. Ridiculously handsome.
I mean, seriously, like he's like Thor.
Yeah. You know? When I see Gabe, I think of the band ABBA.
You a model?
Don't you?
No, I don't, Mark. No. Oh,
how could you not?
Why? Because he's a handsome Swede?
Yeah. Do you hear the drums, Fernando? You don't. Man, instantly in my ear is ABBA every time, or ABBA every time I see him.
ABBA or ABBA?
Well, ABBA is ABBA father, like, you know, but ABBA is the band. Still big.
You got Rogue scrambling. She's like, who's this ABBA you speak of?
Fernando.
Although I think she probably knows ABBA.
She knows who's ABBA.
She knows who ABBA is.
Mamma Mia, here we go again. Na na, da 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 da.
It's more just me and Sid behind the scenes just being like, all right, go Google it.
Go Google
go
it.
Go find a song.
Go find it.
Here we go. Ian Abba song.
Go appease Mark.
I mean, how? This is like his theme song for the playoffs.
This is Gabe, huh?
Yeah, Gabe is singing this to the Avs. Take a chance on me for the playoffs. Take a chance, take a chance, take a chance. When your knee is wrecked, but you're working hard.
Wow, that's harsh.
Take a chance on me. Went to Mexico to have it fixed.
When your knee is wrecked. Holy smokes. Still too raw, man. That's too raw.
Is that raw?
That's too raw.
I hope he makes it back.
No, he's not going
to. He's my favorite Swede.
Yeah, no.
There's no Swede that I like more than I like Gabe.
Gabe, you take your time, man.
Yep.
Take your time. Take your time. And you know what? You don't. I don't like the idea that it's set up somehow is that Gabe needs to come back and rescue this team. Uh-uh. Sorry. Not your hump, Gabe.
Mm-mm.
You take your time. You come back. Take the whole summer. Ease into this thing the right way. You are not responsible. Just because you're the captain, and I'm sure you are, it's killing you right now not to be able to be out there. But this team should have enough leadership, should have enough talent to go out and have a deep playoff run. And if they don't, it's not your job to come give this team some sort of emotional bump. It's not your job.
Correct.
It's not your job. Your job is to just get back and get healthy and be ready to do this the right way. If this team is so fragile that they need Gabe Landeskog to be out there on the ice for 6 minutes a night in the first round of the playoffs to give this team a jump start, then there's something wrong with this team. I don't think there is. Not to that level, but no, this is not a situation where Gabe Landeskog is required to come back and ride in on a white steed to save everything. Nope.
Agreed.
That's on you, Nathan MacKinnon, and Kale McCarr, and Val Nichushkin, and all those other guys.
And also
Casey Mittelstadt, all of you.
Also on the organization for
and
continuing
the front office,
to you know, try to sell us a pipe dream.
What do you think of this Jontay Porter story?
Incredible, right?
The brother of Michael Porter Jr. has been banned for life.
Yeah.
And when you look at the results of the investigation, is he getting a raw deal? Are they really hammering him to use him as a under the radar example to everybody else? Like, so here's what the NBA's investigation found into Jontay Porter betting on sports. He placed 13 bets. The smallest bet was $15. The largest bet was $22,000. His net winnings was about $22,000. He never bet on games he played, but he did bet on the Raptors to lose a game. And the NBA has banned him for life.
Well, you can't bet on your team to lose or win. And then there are some prop bets that got flagged by other people, you know, that placed like inside information on prop bets that got flagged that look dicey. I mean, dicey. But here's a guy that made about $2.4 million and he's cost himself his opportunity to play in the NBA for $22,000.
Yeah.
And 13 bets. 13 bets. And regardless, there's enough, you know, there's enough there that, especially with everybody being in bed with organized gambling, then the suspensions and the fines have got to be harsh, Mike, because there's got to be some type of precedent set to deter others who are thinking about it.
See, I disagree with you on that. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be punishment, but should it be this severe? Because you've clearly opened up your arms to a relationship with all these betting sites. As a league, all these leagues, these franchises, they are openly embracing gambling, sports gambling. And isn't it hypocritical to be taking the sports gambling sites millions and millions and millions of dollars, but then if a player falls victim to it, the punishment is that severe? I'm not saying that they shouldn't be punished, right?
Right.
Because I understand why you can't, the public can't think that these games are rigged in any way, but there isn't part of you that feels like this is kind of hypocritical, that, hey, we're willing to take all your millions of dollars, but if one player steps out of line and makes a mistake, he's banned for life? Shouldn't there be sort of a sliding scale of justice for these things?
I think it's pretty simple. You can't bet on basketball. You can't bet on, and you certainly can't bet on your own team. And didn't he bet on his own team to lose?
To lose, yeah.
I mean, I have no issue with him getting suspended for life. You bet on, not only did you bet on basketball, but you bet on your own team to lose.
Is sports betting, like, is this a common thing for players to do, like steroids, like that they're like secretly just doing it behind the scenes? Like, and he just happened to be one that got caught?
Well, I think sports gambling, when you're a big sports fan and you like to watch games, to put a little $2 bet on things, there's like a little skin in the game.
Yeah.
And people get giddy about
that.
And
it's everywhere. You're
correct.
You're surrounded by it.
You're surrounded.
You're bombarded by it.
Right.
So should we be shocked if some of these guys decide to partake?
Well, no, we shouldn't be shocked, but there should be very stringent penalties for circumventing the rules that are put in place. You can still
gamble. But lifetime bans, though,
you bet on basketball and you bet on your own team? Yes. Now, would it be a lifetime ban if his name was...
I know where you're going.
If his name was, you know, Kevin Durant.
Right.
Or if his name was Giannis.
Yeah, no, you're right.
How do you say his name? Go ahead. I'm putting you on.
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo?
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Now say Tua's last name, Mike.
Tua Tagovailoa. Did I get right?
No.
Tua Tagovailoa. How is it?
Tagovailoa.
Huh? What?
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. Tagovailoa?
But yeah, I just call him Tua.
Yeah. That's right. He's Tua. He's Giannis. And that's good enough. Hey, I finally got Albert Okwuegbunam right. And you know what? Kevin Harlan never got it right.
That's right.
So
how are you expecting to get it? If Kevin Harlan can't get it right,
how am
I held accountable?
He's an actual professional.
He's a professional.
I mean,
he's
a professional.
Went to school to do this.
He's a professional broadcaster.
Right.
I'm just a...
Well, you're a professional broadcaster.
Well,
me,
sort of. I'm just
stink.
Tell me you guys got that. That's a great line.
Right.
That's a great drop.
Yeah.
I'm just stink.
That's all I am.
But this is how cynical I am about some of this stuff. If I'm Adam Silver, I'm like, oh, thank God. I got a virtual nobody
Right. Oh, there's no... Hey, there's no,
I can hold up there as is, a shining example. Yes. Do not do this. There do is, not or else.
I'm going to say. I'm going to say that there is a sacrificial lamb component.
Yes.
To this guy. Because, you know, he's a guy. What was that, Ro? Well,
I was just saying it's probably intentional because they probably know about other guys who are more popular in the league that are doing it.
Oh, you think they do?
I feel like,
you think there's a cover-up?
Yeah, I just feel, because for me, it's like, in who, what kind of person gambles? Like, what? It just doesn't make sense that anyone would do this. Like, you're obviously going to get caught. So, or maybe I'm just wrong, and it's actually pretty popular amongst players.
Well, I think lots of
players are doing it, and the league is like, okay, well, let's get this guy. We have to put a stop to this, but we're not going to go after the big boys.
So well, we have to, there's still that feeling out there that you got plenty of people out there who believe Michael Jordan's first retirement,
yes,
was not a retirement at all.
No, it was a go clean your stuff up because of your gambling issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean,
does anybody buy the Shohei story completely? By the way,
Shohei knew nothing.
Right.
I know nothing. He's like Colonel Klink or whatever. I know nothing.
Really?
Oh, Schultzy, right? I love it because Johnny and Roger are like, what the hell are they talking about? We're just having our own little conversation here. Colonel Klink conversation.
Look it up. It's on Hulu. You'd love it. It's a concept that would never fly today, but...
No, oh my gosh. Can you imagine how many triggered Karens would be out there? if you tried to put a show together like that?
Oh
my word. Goodness. I hear words that trigger me.
Holy smokes. But anyway, Jontay Porter, though, in the grand scheme of things, he is basically a basketball nobody. And he is being held up as a bit of a sacrificial lamb. But he is Michael Porter Jr.'s brother. That is family. And Michael Malone is very much aware of what's going on and that MPJ has the team's support.
He knows that we all support him. And this family is such a well-connected, strong family with tremendous faith from his mom and dad throughout. And he knows he has another family here at Ball Arena in that locker room and the coaching staff and the entire franchise that have his back. But it has not been easy for him. That's why I give him credit, because he's carrying so much in his heart and in his mind. And for him to go out there and do the job that he's doing, it speaks to how much strength that young man has.
Very nice testimonial there from Coach Malone.
That would be tough, right?
Of course it would be.
For your brother.
You know, you're the one that has the $240 million or whatever it is contract. You're the one that's an established NBA player. And meanwhile, your brother's just trying to carve out a niche.
Yeah.
And now his dream's dead. Done.
And you'll never work in basketball again or sports. Like, what are you going to do? Seriously. You can't get into coaching.
It's a bit of a...
You're done.
It's a bit of a scarlet letter he carries around now, yeah.
Right.
Not to bring up a more somber issue, but Michael Porter Jr.'s other brother, just a couple of years ago, the incident with that.
Yep. So that's what Michael Malone is talking about. Yeah, he carries a lot with what goes on with that family. Some other stuff to pass along to you. So while there's a lot of sky is falling... sentiment out there surrounding the Avalanche, and I understand it. You know, they've lost some games down the stretch here. They've gotten blown out in some games. There's all kinds of worry about the goaltending. But yet, despite all of that, the Avalanche remain a favorite for their first-round series against Winnipeg.
Really?
Yep.
So, obviously, they haven't put too much stock into what's gone on with the drubbing by Edmonton the drubbing by the 7-0 drubbing by the Jets. They don't put a lot of stock into that.
Well, especially the loss at the hands of the Jets, because you know the Avalanche got outscored 17-4 in their matchups with Winnipeg this year. They do not have home ice. And they haven't been playing well down the stretch. Winnipeg is currently riding a 7-game winning streak.
Did the Avalanche beat Winnipeg at all this year in their matchups?
No.
17-4. Dude, that is that's like facing, you know, one team. Like, let's say you're facing one team in your division. Like, you're facing the Kansas City Chiefs, and they beat you by a total of, you know, 76-9 over a 2-game. Like, that's a drubbing, man. That is an absolute butt-whipping.
So the Avalanche remain favorites for game one. They remain favorites for the series. And, in fact, still, when you're talking about Stanley Cup odds, where would you place the Avalanche, their ranking among the top teams with the best Stanley Cup odds? Where would you think they're ranked?
I would think they are ranked fourth.
Close. Fifth.
Okay.
Tied for fifth. Carolina has the best odds.
Okay.
But these are all close. Carolina's plus 650. Florida's plus 700. Dallas is plus 800. The Rangers are plus 800. The Avs are plus 850. And Edmonton's plus 850. And then there's a bit of a drop-off before you get to the next group of teams. So the Avs, despite their issues, are still considered a strong Stanley Cup threat. In fact, out of the West, only Dallas slightly has better Stanley Cup odds than the Avs. So there's still a lot of respect, and you know where that comes from. There's just a lot of respect, as there should be, for the Avalanche core.
Right.
They see what we see, that you've got a team that's got arguably two of the top five players in all of hockey.
Sure.
In MacKinnon and Makar. You got another guy who's, in my opinion, one of the top 10 to 15 best players in all of hockey, Mikko Rantanen. You got another guy who is one of the top 15 to 25 players in all of hockey in Val Nichushkin. You got a guy who is probably one of the top 10 to 12 defensemen in the league in Devon Taves. So
you didn't put Lekkonen in there.
I did not put Lekkonen in there, but I would still include him in their core. So anytime you can roll out a core like that, you automatically are a threat.
Yeah.
Even with the issues, even with the goaltending issues that they have. So it comes down to the keys for the Avalanche in this playoff run. The stars have to be the stars, and they just have to. They don't need a ton of contributions from their supporting cast, but they need some. And if they get just enough, hey, this is a team that easily will find themselves in the Western Conference Finals. Or if they don't,
right,
they could be gone in the first round.
I know you got up early to put this rundown.
1:30. I've been up since 1:30.
And you know I'm such a stickler for staying true to the rundown. That's what I'm all about. But you just ranked kind of the Avalanche. I got an interesting email. The Athletic does a quote-unquote scientific model to rank all the NFL rosters pre-draft.
Okay.
So they use all these indicators of all the 1,500 players that play in the National Football League, how they rank those players to rank the rosters.
And you have the Broncos ranking?
I've got everybody's ranking right now, and I'm going to ask you to rank where the Broncos...
Ooh, you are turning the tables on me.
I'm going to ask you to rank where the Broncos rate according to the Athletic.
All right, we'll do that next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. I knew that I
would not. So normally I'm the one setting up a game for you and the listeners. This time you're turning the tables on.
I did turn the tables.
So go ahead.
And you know I'm a stickler for the rundown. I like to come in here and really study it. So we're sharp, Mike. But my question was, okay, the mock draft by The Athletic assures there's a scientific model that values each of the 1,500 players to rank a team's roster. So they look at every player that's on your roster, and then they rank the roster based on the evaluation of the players. Who do you think is the number one team in football?
For a roster.
From a roster standpoint.
I'm going to say San Francisco.
Yep, you got it. Nailed it. Top five, San Francisco, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Now, this is taking in all the moves that have happened up to this point. All the people have been cut and everything. Okay.
Up to this point. All right. So, where, Mike, do your Denver Broncos rank according to The Athletic and whatever, you know, however they rank each individual player
evaluation
on the roster?
Okay. So, the way that the fact that this interests you tells me, let's see, as I try to read you, that either they are really, really bad and you want to drive that point home, or you're surprised at how high they were ranked. I'm going to go with you were surprised at how high they were ranked. I'm going to say their roster is ranked 19th.
No, lower.
22.
Lower.
Uh-oh. 25.
Lower.
Uh-oh.
28.
Ding, 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 ding.
28.
28.
Yikes.
Their roster is rated 28th in football. So that being said, if you trade away the future to run up to get your quarterback with the 28th overall, you know, roster, how much success do you think that quarterback's going to have?
Oof. Well, that's why if you do it, you're doing it if you're Sean Payton with the idea that this is my Breeze. This is my Breeze. This is my Mahomes. This is the guy, no doubt. Not only do I know for a fact that this guy's going to be the player, but I also know that mentally, as a leader, he's tough enough that he's going to be able to handle the down years as we build around him. I mean, it's got to be just his belief in this guy has to be 100% ironclad.
Right.
And if it isn't, even if it's 99%, if it's not 100%, you either stay put or you trade back.
Okay, here's what they say. This is the evaluation. 28, the Broncos. The O-line and cornerback groups should be average or slightly above, but everything else is in rough shape. They're similar to the Titans, but the one difference is the Titans already have a young, highly drafted quarterback, and the Broncos at number 12 would need to mortgage the future to get a top QB prospect. So that's the breakdown. Here are the teams that are below them. You care to venture a guess? 29, 30, 31, and 32.
29, 30, 31, and 32 rosters.
Yeah. You don't have to give them in order, but just give me the teams that are below them.
Well, I would probably go with Washington.
Yes, they are back there.
I'd go with New England.
No, they have them rated higher.
But not by much.
New England is actually quite a bit higher in New
really?
England. Yeah.
Hmm.
New England had a really good defense, 20th.
Okay. Let's see. Really bad, other bad rosters.
Cardinals.
Okay. Panthers.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
There's one. There's
Titans?
One left. No, the Giants.
The Giants. The G-Men.
The G-Men. Boy, a New York fan is not going to be happy.
Did you see, by the way, what is it with New York sports figures and press conferences there? So did you see Daniel Jones? He went full gaze.
What is
his eyes got like really wide? Now they weren't darting around like gazes were, but like they were just like major dilation. They just like opened wide and
super
stayed
open.
Wide.
Yeah, yeah, it was weird.
It was really weird,
dude. That's my quarterback. If you live in New York and you've got the 6th overall pick, and I know, what was Daniel Jones taking? 6th overall, right? Wasn't he taking 6th overall?
Yeah.
You screwed that one up, right?
Let's just admit it. Right.
Just admit it.
Right.
You paid him a lot of money. Just eat it.
Right.
Just eat the money and dip your toe back in the water.
That's my biggest complaint about this whole draft a quarterback, any quarterback, swing for the fences mentality. okay, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can buy into it if you stay consistent with it. And that means if you swing for the fences with a guy like Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray,
mm-hmm.
Justin Fields, like it would have been fascinating to see what Chicago would have done had they not lucked into Carolina's stupidity and still ended up with the number one pick. Thank you, Carolina. Had they not had that happen, would they have still stuck with Fields? They probably would have. And that's my biggest beef with this whole swing for the fences mentality that a lot of fans have and media members have. Well, okay, why do you have that super aggressive mentality about going out and getting a quarterback and then all of a sudden you pump the brakes and say, all right, now we got to be patient.
Yeah.
And now we gotta give this guy 2, 3, maybe 4 years to show what he can do
mm-hmm.
before we go do it again. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in New York, you admit it was a mistake, go do it again, right?
That's,
in Arizona, yeah. You admit it was a mistake, go do it again.
San Francisco, you admitted that Trey Lance didn't work out.
Right.
You still have the best roster in football. Dump him and move on.
Yeah.
Giants already got their franchise quarterback, though. Drew Lock, baby.
That's right.
That's a good point. That is a good point, Johnny. Good point. By the way, you know, normally I bring my own coffee.
Well, and to start the morning, then you get whatever's
no, here. No. Later. I usually bring my own little coffee pods. I usually have coffee pods
with
me.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you used one.
Yeah, no. I always bring my own coffee pods, but I forgot them today. And this is absolutely delicious. This is it's a Dunkin's. It's called Hazel D's.
Hazel D's?
Hazel D's nuts!
That's what she said.
That's a good one.
I knew that.
So, Stink, when you're at home...
I knew where that was going, but I figured I'll play along.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're at home, do you drink like regular coffee from the pot, though?
No. I just use the little pots.
You're a Keurig pots. Guy?
Yeah.
I feel like Keurig coffee is so disgusting and weird. It tastes so wrong.
There's just something about a good, full, brewed, you know, coffee maker that's just got like 6 cups of coffee in there, just sitting there waiting for you to go.
Yeah, no.
Like when you switched to the Keurig, did you notice like a funky kind of weird
taste?
Yeah,
you had to, what was that term you have to, they use when you have to like clean it every once in a while?
Oh, descale. You got to descale.
Descale it, yeah. Anything you have to descale like once a month is just,
Well, the thing is, though, is I don't wash my cup. So I let it get caked in there with the old coffee.
Yeah.
So it's got that, you know, it's got that old coffee feel to it.
Delicious.
Just like that coffee residue. Right?
Yeah. It's like
I get you.
Yeah.
I get you. It's like, you know, it's like if you had a grill for a long time.
Right. For the younger generation that doesn't drink coffee, it's like bong residue.
Right.
Right. Not that I would know that, but you know, you kids back there.
Is that true, Fever?
If you were to clean it, it wouldn't hit the same.
See, it wouldn't hit the same. Wow. Right. Exactly.
Wow, we got a professional.
It's almost like you're like, hey, I'm picking up little scents of little undertones. Mm-hmm.
You know what's coming up this weekend, right?
No.
What day is it going to be on Saturday?
420. 420?
Yep.
Yeah. That's day after tomorrow. Oh, on a Saturday, too.
Yeah.
It's Kevin's birthday, too. Shout out, Kisner.
Kisner's on the 20th?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Chicken fingers. You're going to be hungry.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. So, where were we?
I don't know.
I don't.
What, I quit paying attention when I got you with the D's nuts joke.
Yeah, you got me.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one coming at all.
I didn't even look at you. I looked away and said, I've got Hazel D's.
Unbelievable.
So mature.
So hold on. Like, do you notice a difference in the taste, though? Like, do you agree that Keurig coffee tastes a little weird?
It depends on the coffee you put in there. I don't think it tastes a little weird. I think that when you brew a full pot, it feels smoother to me.
Okay,
like the Keurig will get a little bit. Sometimes you can be a little bitter.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Well, as long as we can agree on that, that's good.
Yeah. If it wasn't such a mess, I used to have a coffee pot that I brew 6 pots. The other thing is I always brew 1 cup and I'm out the door. So, you know, like on the weekends, it'd be great. But
Texter says, wow, this is a real downer. Manly man Mark drinks Keurig coffee. I feel like I've been let down.
I drink any kind of coffee. But yeah, I have a Keurig.
Let me tell you something, folks. I've traveled enough with Mark. He is a coffee snob. He's a coffee elitist. He's a coffee gourmand. He definitely likes his foo-foo coffee. Man, when we're out on the road, you're like, hey, I'm going to be going to Starbucks. Can I get you something? I'll be like, yeah, what are you getting? And he'll be like, I'm getting a tall whipped, total coffee nuts with extra whip and throw a little bit of cinnamon in there.
I get a breve latte made with half and half as opposed to milk, where you get vanilla added to your stuff and everything else, and Lord have mercy. I have one man coffee.
We know what Evans is going to be doing at 4:20 on Saturday, finishing that carton of Apple Jacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know it. Coming up next, we've settled. We've gotten all your nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and I will give you each our Mount Rushmore of the worst Denver sports contracts ever. That's coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Now they always say congratulations. Worked so hard, forgot how to vacation. They never had the dedication.
Well, in this case,
people hate and say
we come not to bury Russell Wilson. Sort of.
What's the fun in that?
Well, he still holds a place in our hearts, as we'll find out here in a second. But, you know, for everything you want to say about Russell Wilson, you know, he didn't play well, but at least he played. At least he played through pain. At least he played through injury.
Yeah, he'll tell you about it.
He will tell you about it, but at least he was out there.
Yeah.
Unlike Chris Bryant, who is hurt again, bad back again, on the IL again. We'll probably be doing a rehab assignment in Albuquerque again, which does remind me, when we did our over-unders at the beginning of the season, Johnny Fever, where did we have the number of rehab games that Chris Bryant would play for the Isotopes?
12.5.
And did we both take the over?
Took the over.
Oh, yeah. That we're going to crush that. We're not even out of April yet. And he's already looking at a rehab assignment. He's got to figure he's going to get at least five or six games down there.
So it's already, you already go back to whenever he hurt his back, right? So you go back like retroactively when you put him on the IL, right? So if it's like a 7-day IL, or is it longer than that?
I mean, it's 10.
A 10-day IL?
But if you go back to the day, retro to the day that he had it, so maybe you could spend 7 days on it. Yeah, but that could all stretch out, Embiid style.
Yes. Yeah, you want to make sure. Well, the other thing is he's not helping the club, so you want to make sure that.
Right, take your time.
Some extended time
take
down to
your
get
time.
Your swing together.
Yeah.
You know, the old tweaked back has really affected the swing, so we want you to make sure that you spend plenty of time in the jacuzzi, loosen that thing up. And then get some swings down there in AAA. Maybe a month worth.
It bears repeating. And this is leading into our conversation here. So Chris Bryant is into his third year on this $180 million contract.
Right.
A baseball contract, by the way. You don't get restructured or anything like that. There's no pay cuts. You get it all. So he is into the third year of this deal. He has played a grand total for the Rockies
Can I guess?
Yeah. How many games has he played in? By the way, they're not always complete games. How many has he played in?
Yeah, I'm going to say 96.
A little bit more than that.
112.
More than that.
121.
More than that.
Oh, wow.
But you're getting close.
130.
135. 135 games. In two-plus years, has not played yet a full season in two-plus years. How many home runs do you think the Rockies have gotten for their investment?
Those
135 games, how many home runs?
16.
Bang! Nailed it.
Really?
Yes. And how many RBI for a run producer?
RBI. Oh, wow. 42.
51.
51. That's
So,
That is all balls.
That is all balls. That is professionalism.
Yeah.
So with that said, here's our question. Love doing our Mount Rushmore debates. Normally they're covered in glory. This one, not so much. So the question is this. Who belongs on the Mount Rushmore of Denver's all-time worst contracts?
Okay.
Yeah, you got to come over four. Now, we know Russ is on it. But is he the worst? Or are you now ready to put Chris Bryant as the worst?
Okay. You want me to give you mine?
Give me your four.
Where do you want me to start? Top to bottom or bottom to top?
Let's go top to, because there's probably, there's no suspense at the top two.
Right.
Okay. There might be some debate about who comes in after that.
Number one for me is, and I don't know that anybody will be able to knock this off ever, is Russ. The expectations were high. He had the four Super Bowl trophies on his shoes.
Yeah.
We all bought into the, I bought into the hype.
Yes.
And then he just absolutely took a dump on the city.
True.
It was bad.
It was
just
bad.
You're right. And then you add on all the just the dripping, like just the, like just saccharine sweet garbage.
Limited.
So he's my number one. Chris Bryant is number two for me because I never expected him. And the Rockies were bidding against themselves.
We had Troy Rank on earlier, and he said to the best of his reporting, he knows a lot of people in baseball, the Rockies offered 180.
Mm-hmm.
The next closest was 100.
I had somebody in baseball, and I have some baseball contacts.
Yes, you do.
Tell me they bid against themselves. They upped their own offer.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody was close, but they upped their own offer. We're going to lose him. We're going to lose them, guys.
Oh,
we got to up this thing. What else can we give them?
I laugh because what else?
Right.
What else are we supposed to do?
Okay.
Okay, so those
Chris Ryan. Number three, Juwan James.
Oh, Juwan James.
He's not emotionally ready to play. I mean, he's probably still collecting a paycheck right now. It just is. It was disgusting.
And I have to give you credit. You predicted this. When they signed him, you said, I'll never forget, the morning after they signed him, you said, you know, I've looked at a lot of his tape. Let's just say that motor isn't always running.
Yeah.
He is a, what, did you say, how did you refer to him? He's a play to the whistle guy or a play use some term
like
whistle.
He didn't play through the whistle. He plays just before the whistle's going to blow.
Right.
He's like, 1,001, 1,002, right. And I am spent. Yeah. And they're technically, you know, you look at how he moved and stuff. He's got, like, he had skills.
Oh, yeah.
He had skills. Yeah. And my last is one, Mike Hampton.
Ooh, okay.
And, like, when you're trying to sell the fact that it was a good deal because your pitcher hit home runs, and, you know, with some pinch hit home runs, and you remember the press conference, Mike, and you reminded me of this.
Yeah.
The press conference.
Because he
signed like a $120 million deal.
He's a pitcher.
Right.
Who took this, he took it for the money.
Right.
Okay? He knew he was coming to a pitcher's graveyard.
Right.
He took the money, but yet he tried to explain it by saying.
Plus, he was 5'8", you know, and he's a little guy pitching in Colorado at Coors Field, the place that's just, you know, pre-humidor. And he said, well, you know, one of the reasons we came here, and it was a big, big move for us, is the school systems are really good.
That's right. At that moment, we're like, we're screwed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The
schools. By the way, the other thing that drove me crazy is every time I went to Coors Field, when Mike Hampton was on the team, people on the concourse would ask me to sign autographs. Mike Hampton.
They thought you looked like Mike Hampton?
They thought I was Mike Hampton.
Actually, I could see that.
And they would be like, Mike, will you sign this? Will you sign it? And I go, dude, the Rockies are playing right now. Do you think Mike Hampton's up here at 290 getting a hot dog?
By the way, why did they sign a pitcher who weighs 290 pounds?
Right.
We are screwed.
I'm just lumbering around up there going, where's a hot dog? Yeah. Where are they?
I mean,
multiple times. And like, come on, Mike. Don't do that to me.
I went with Bryant. I went with Russ. I wanted to go with Juwan James. I had to put, I went with Denny Nagel because they followed up the Hampton signing with Denny Nagel.
Who was, by the way, a fly ball. He got outs on fly ball.
Yes. You are bringing in a fly ball pitcher pre-humidor to pitch at Coors Field. Right. Then, of course, you had Colfax Avenue and all that kind of stuff. So I put Denny Nagel on my list. And then I had to put Dale Carter on the list because the Dale Carter signing, which, by the way, when they signed him at the time, you were with the team.
Yeah.
He became the NFL's highest paid defensive back with that deal.
Right.
They brought him in, and it was literally the turd in the punch bowl. And it was the first real move that signaled that the magic that had been over you guys for those 3 years and the two Super Bowls was effectively over when you brought that clown into the mix. So I went with that.
He gave us eight games.
I went with Dale Carter.
Finest games you've ever seen.
On the list there. Fan Flyaway, we're giving you a chance to go to the, I can't say it because of the legalese, but the Pro Basketball Championships in June. You're going to get a chance to go to a game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Hopefully the Eastern Conference representative to play you-know-who. Two nights hotel and $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Good news, those of you who previously entered our Fan Flyaway in February for Vegas, you are already signed up for that one. We're having a little fun today with George Payton and Sean Payton, both scheduled to talk a little bit later today. What questions would you like to ask one or both of them? Wrong questions only. We'll get to some of the better ones next.